Dear listeners, Sai Ram. We now bring you Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. Today's episode was first aired on the 12th April 2018 as part of Thursday live programs on Asia Stream of Radio Sai. This program is hosted by Team Radio Sai's Bishu.
Salam, dear listeners, and welcome once again to Radio Sai Vintage Bhajan Classroom. I'm Team Radio Sai's Bishu, and today we have a bhajan adoring the Lord as the embodiment of Linga, as the Lingeshwara, as the Lingod Bhavakara. It's a bhajan again from the yesteryears. This is how the first line of the bhajan flows.
Lingod Bhavakara Lingeshwara.
So this is what we will learn now, and like in every episode of this program, let's get familiar with the lyrics and then we'll move on to the tune, the raga, and then you will listen to a conversation between two Sai brothers from Chennai, Brother Balram Chandran and Brother Mayur. Both are members of the Sundaram Sai Bhajan group, and they have reflected on this bhajan and they will share their insights on what this bhajan is conveying to us. And after that, we will listen to the final version of this bhajan as it is sung in the Prashant Nilayam Mandir. So let's get started with the lyrics.
Lingod Bhavakara Lingeshwara Partishwara Mam Pahi Prabho Pahi Prabho Mam Dehi Vibho.
Now that we know the lyrics, this is how this bhajan flows. Please listen to the tune of the bhajan as it is sung slowly without any musical accompaniments and try to follow after every line.
This bhajan is being sung in the scale A Pancham.
Lingod Bhavakara Lingeshwara. Lingod Bhavakara Lingeshwara. Lingod Bhavakara Lingeshwara. Lingod Bhavakara Lingeshwara. Partishwara Mam Pahi Prabho. Partishwara Mam Pahi Prabho. Partishwara Mam Pahi Prabho. Partishwara Mam Pahi Prabho. Pahi Prabho Mam Dehi Vibho. 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 Lingod Bhavakara Lingeshwara.
So that was Brother Srinivasulu and Anirudh giving us a beautiful demonstration of how this bhajan flows. Well, this bhajan evokes so many memories, especially for those of us who have watched the videos of the earlier era of Bhagwan doing the Lingod Bhavam. We will discuss more about this in the Bhava section. For now, let's see what is it that gives this bhajan this special flavor. What is it that makes it so unique? So Brother Anirudh is here with us to share his thoughts on the technical makeup of this bhajan. So Anirudh, what is the raga on which is this bhajan based?
Sai Ram Vishu.
Sai Ram.
This very powerful bhajan is mostly based on the rag Todi in the Hindustani classical music, or we call it Shubha Panto Rali in the Carnatic classical music. And there are many, many compositions in this raga. Why is it so powerful is, I think when I mention the Arohana Avrohana, you will come to know that it is very, very powerful.
Sa, sa, सारे
कोमल रे
गा
कोमल गा
मा
तीव्रमा powerful, isn't it?
Yes.
So you have many komal notes actually, yes. As you see, and then with the shuddhani, this is the sampurna raga which has all the seven notes in the raga. Actually the bhajan has only few notes,
mm-hmm.
which is sa ri ga and da or ma. Just when we do the swaras we'll come to know. So it's not taking the full essence of Shubha Panthorali as such, but the main core of the power of Shubha Panthorali is demonstrated in the bhajan, like
Lingod Bhavakara Lingeshwara Partishwara Mam Pahi Prabhu Pahi Prabhu Mam Dehi Vibhu.
It's a very short and sweet bhajan. In the Arohana and Avarohana, you would have heard the notes when it goes up. Yes, there is more pining and more pathos you can show in the raga. But this is a small, short bhajan, which is composed with taking only the first half of the Arohanam or Avarohanam, like just five to six swaras, 4 to 5 swaras, that's it. And it gives a very, very very powerful feeling, similar to Mrityum Jaya Namo.
Yes. It evokes really, yes. Very powerful emotions.
It's in a high plane. The very start of the bhajan and the tempo.
Yes.
The speed in which we sing, and yes. Then you can imagine the whole hall actually, yes. Singing this bhajan with full power. Everybody clapping their hands and joining with the bhajan. Especially like as you mentioned before, when Swami physically used to take out the lingam.
Yes.
So it really creates that mood actually. You can recreate that mood in our Akhanda Bhajan sessions when we sing this as part of our Akhanda Bhajans during Shivaratri.
Yes. I mean it's high intensity.
Yes, very intense.
And high emotion.
Yes.
Yes.
And the prayer is so simple. Pahi Prabho,
yes.
Dehi Vibho.
So do you want to do an alap in this raga?
Yeah, always if you ask me to do an alap in Todi, I would say yes. Because I would love to get connected by singing a few notes.
Yeah.
I would give a try.
Maybe you should do. And today, for this session, we have Brother Prabhakar also with us.
Yes.
So maybe as you do the alap, Brother Prabhakar also can join.
Yes, yes.
Ah. दत्तात्रेय सद्गुरुदेवा देहि देहि तव श्रीपाद सेवा केशवा माधवा गोविंदा गोपाला कलिबल भंजन कोदंड राम
सीताराम
बोलो बोलो सीताराम राधेश्याम बोलो बोलो राधेश्याम.
I think when I'm singing along with you and when I listen to these, I get reminded of those wonderful days we spent with Swami in the snow-capped mountains of Shimla, 2010. So the experience goes like this. The beautiful mandir was decorated on that very day in the morning. We were there sitting down and Swami on top at the pedestal, and around the snow-capped mountains, the breeze flowing through the cheeks of Baba. What a sight it was, and we had the chance to sing this Mahaprana Deepam Shivam.
Yes, beautiful song.
And when we were singing, he was closing his eyes and he was veritable Shiva himself. He's veritable Shankara.
Mahaprana Deepam Shivam Shivam Mahukara Rupam Shivam Shivam Mahasurya Chandragni Netram Pavitram Mahagadhati Mirantakam Sauragatram Mahakanti Bijam Mahadivya Tejam Bhavani Sametam Bhaje Manjunatham.
The song goes on like that, and that's also in the same raga.
Yes.
Todi.
Yes.
Wow. It gets me a lot of memories.
Beautiful. Well, that song itself, that's a very beautiful example of this raga put to such fantastic use, right? I mean, the raga used so beautifully.
Yes, yes. And another very, very most justified composition,
yes,
as you say, is...
Yes.
Sai Baba bolo, Sai Baba bolo, Sai Baba bolo, Sai Baba bolo.
It really evokes the emotion.
Yes.
In
and also with this raga, if the choice of words is taken care.
Yes.
For example, the bhajan which you have chose, Lingud Bhavakara, that Udbhavam, is a very powerful word.
Yes.
So the powerful word and the raga adds up to the emotion.
Yes.
So
just to add one more thing to the what Prabhakar brother was saying, the lyrics also can help to get more connect. Is yet another example is...
Daya karo he dayanidhi he bhagavan.
Because you really get the daya karo, pleading feel when you sing along with such raga. But simple namavalis like Lingod Bhavakara also is very, very powerful.
Yes.
Because as you said, the lyrics... The words are so powerful.
Yes.
And everybody can easily follow and get the connect.
Wow. In fact, I mean the raga, you know, when you are doing the alap, the structure of the raga is such that, you know, the raga only speaks so much. You don't actually need words.
Yes.
You know, just do the alap itself.
Yes.
It really pulls.
Yes.
You know, it pulls you. It pulls you to him. It will pull him to you. And with that, when you have a really appropriate... words which are just enabling the expression of the soul.
Even you, if you don't have a very complicated lyrics or a logical lyrics, take example Keshava Madhava.
Exactly.
Keshava.
Yes.
Just three syllables.
Just
Keshava
Namavali.
Madhava.
Yes.
Simple namavali.
Yes.
But when you sing in such a powerful raga, it just lifts up.
Yes, the raga just takes it.
Yes. Govinda Gopala, Haribol, Haribol.
Yes. Wow.
I mean, that way, when Lingod Bhavagara is a similar bhajan, very simple words and namavali. So let's, I think, we'll get down to enabling all those who are so keen to listen to the swaras.
Yes, these swaras are so important, because without which this powerful connect wouldn't have been possible.
Yes.
So in fact, even I'm thinking that we are so blessed that Swami has shown the way of looking at music in such a way that the music is really enhancing the connect towards the Lord. Not just the mere musical technical aspect, but the real purpose of it, like how what Swami wants us is to use the music to make anybody connect to Swami.
Yes.
So let's do this line by line swara part, so that every singer can sing this in the proper notes where to stand. And it's a simple three liner bhajan. So the first line,
Lingodbhava kara lingeshwara sa sari gari gari sa ni sa da ni sa. Sa sari gari gari sa ni sa da ni sa. Parteshwara mam pahi prabhu. Sari gari ga gari ga sari ga. Sari gari ga gari ga sari ga. Pahi prabhu mam dehi vibhu. Sari ga ma gari ri 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 gari gari sa. Sari ga ma gari ri 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 gari gari sa.
Okay, so let's discuss the beat of the bhajan too.
The beat of this bhajan is simple, 8 beat, Aditalam in the classical music or Keherwa in the Hindustani classical music. So let's have the count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Lingodbhava kara lingeshwara. Lingodbhava kara lingeshwara. Parteshwara mam pahi prabhu. Parteshwara mam pahi prabhu.
Thank you very much, Brother Prabhakar, Anirudh and Narvan Sai.
Thank you, Vishnu.
Sai Ram.
Sai Ram. Sai Ram. So it's time now to move on and spend a little more understanding the significance of the words in this bhajan, understanding what the different words that make this bhajan mean to us. And we will dwell on this through the insights and reflections of two brothers, Brother Balram Chandran, a former student of Bhagwan's University, and Brother Mayur from the Sundaram Bhajan Group. Let's listen to this satsang and let's immerse ourselves in the glory of this bhajan.
Sai Ram, Brother Mayur, very happy again sitting in the Radio Sai studio discussing about a bhajan.
Sai Ram, Swami's grace.
Yeah, truly. So, I've been wanting to ask you this, brother. You sing so beautifully. In fact, there are so many of us who love your ears sing. Personally, I feel very inspired. I feel very enthralled when I hear you sing. I feel a sense of pride when I hear you sing. So, as somebody who's had the opportunity to sing bhajans before Swami in his physical presence and even otherwise, you know, bhavam is a very important concept of bhajans, ragam, talam, bhavam, and Swami gives a lot of importance to it. You know, over so many sessions here, even with the Radio Sai, we have discussed various means by which possibly a singer can deliver a bhajan with bhavam. There are many of our brothers who have outlined methods. In fact, there are some who imagine a story, some who, you know, imagine a scenario, some who you know, there are various specific tips which people have shared. But what I have also found in bhajan singing is not all bhajans kind of fit into that template. You know, there are certain bhajans which are so simple, in fact, I would say deceptively simple, like the bhajan which we will discuss now, you know, Lingod Bhavakara Lingeshwara. Now, it's a four-line bhajan. Now, you know, it doesn't fit into a standard template where you can put it into a story.
Absolutely.
Because before you think of the story, the bhajan is over.
Yeah.
So, such a simple bhajan. Now, yes, we talk of understanding the meaning of the word. So, what has been your experience? What do you attempt? Now, suppose you have to sing a bhajan where you're not able to imagine a theme or, you know, in certain bhajans it happens there's a particular word which charges the entire bhajan for you and helps you sing with a lot of feeling. But then, if a bhajan which you have to render does not fit into any of this, what do you generally do? I'm asking you this because possibly this question is there in the minds of lots of people. It's definitely there on my mind.
Such a beautiful question, but I should admit at this point in time, to be very candid with you, I've always had this question, where is this music coming from? So you can call it, oh, such a beautiful voice, or somebody singing with so much of clarity.
Yeah.
Some people follow the music behind it, you know, the various technical aspects of music behind it.
True.
Some people feel there's a lot of bhava behind it. So if you personally ask me, I'm still in search of an answer for this question. Where is this coming from?
Okay.
Yeah. So I have never thought of the way that you are talking about a theme or a story behind it or a particular experience or probably an anecdote from the Purana or say a Ramayana or a Mahabharata when you're singing about Rama or Krishna.
True.
So for us to say, okay, when we say Kalyana Rama, so immediately think of the grand ceremony of Ramapatta Abhishekam or something.
Yeah.
Or it can be a Shiva bhajan where you immediately think of Mount Kailash, for example.
Correct.
Or probably a personal experience, for example.
Yeah.
But if you ask me personally, so where is this coming from? So nobody on this planet till now has known where this sound is actually coming from. Right? So somebody is singing. So we hear lots of sounds and noises possibly around us. But there's a lot of beyond the sound and beyond the noise, there is something inside which is still ringing. Right? True. So that takes a shape. Like how Tyagaraja Swami says, Nabi Hrid Kantha Rasana. So that's the journey from the Nabi, and it comes out, and I think it becomes again one with the cosmos outside.
Absolutely.
Our cosmos inside or the outside is all the same. So where is it actually coming? So we say, okay, it comes from the Nabi. Where exactly in the Nabi? Nobody can describe. Nobody can say, this is the point, you know, even the greatest of scientists can't say, this particular point in the Nabi is where the sound starts from.
Absolutely.
There is absolutely no like, and now that we are talking about this bhajan, Lingod Bhavakara, so the Lingod Bhavam, the so many events, great events of Lingod Bhavam that we have probably seen in person or through videos that Swami has manifested. So the Lingam which actually comes from his Nabi.
From the Nabi, absolutely right.
Yeah. So how can you even describe it? So you mean to say Swami has gold inside? You mean to say he's creating something? So there's a very beautiful analogy around it, but which is beyond human comprehension is what I would say. But one thing is for sure, this question which is still unanswered for me.
Yeah.
So how does it just come? So we say some people are so good at singing, so very good at music, right? So is this confined to only music or is it confined only to lyrics? Yes, Sahitya definitely plays a very, very important role in any bhajan or any devotional piece. So that's a whole point where, again, quoting the Tyagaraja Swami, where all his kritis were all outpour of his emotions and his devotion for the Lord. So now, is it lyrics? Is it the sahitya which adds value? Is it the music which adds value? Is it some frame of theme that you have in mind that is adding value to it? Now, beyond all these, it is just coming from nowhere, which is basically the source. And it is going back to the source.
True.
Now the journey is so beautiful. I think the whole journey, I'm personally just questioning it. Where is it coming from? Where is it going? You know, so like what you were saying, just like 3-4 line bhajan, even before you think of something around it, the bhajan is over.
Absolutely.
Right? So even before you kind of get a hold of that question confidently, the bhajan is over.
Absolutely.
You know, so you're still wondering, where did it just come from? Where did it go? You know, okay, that's a beautiful bhajan in one particular raga. It's a very beautiful bhajan about a particular form of the Lord. And all that is very beautiful. Of course, yes, very beautiful. But where is the source? Where is the end? So I think while we are talking about Lingodbhavam, the very essence of the form of Lingam is that which has no beginning, neither beginning nor the end.
Absolutely.
Right? So I think even singing or music in any form, more than an art, more than somebody performing or more than somebody's talent, I think it is the very divine itself, which is just coming out of the source and going back to the source.
Absolutely.
Which is just taking a shape for a very temporal time and going back to its source. So I think...
very profound answer. In fact, let me take you back a few minutes before where, you know, we were discussing before we, you know, did this recording. You were wondering what you would speak and whether you would answer questions. In fact, you even told me, don't put me in a spot. Now, you've given a very profound answer, brother. In fact, so like the music that you mentioned, I think even what you said, you're not sure where it came from. It came from a source unknown and it has, you know, merged in that very source. So beautiful. In fact, profound thought you mentioned. So what I take away from this is that, you know, inculcating bhavam in a bhajan can't be a thought out process. In fact, I think more than the conscious, it is unconscious. I think yes. Does thinking about Sahityam help? Yes. Does understanding intricacies of a note or a raga help? Possibly yes. But eventually I think any idea like this is a thought process. And thoughts will have to be broken down into things which are far, far more subtler. Because I think when you sing, the bhavam is not conscious. It's unconscious. Like, it's not deliberate. That's what I mean. You know,
and you don't have time to accumulate that bhavam.
You cannot.
Yeah.
You can't say, I feel bhavam and I'll sing.
Yeah,
so you can't. So the beautiful thing which you mentioned, and then you connected it nicely to, you know, how I like that comparison of how Tyagaraja Swami says, Nabi Hrid Kanta, the navel and the, you know, the heart, the spiritual heart, of course, the throat, and then ultimately, you know, it emerges. So I just realized you made a beautiful point. I think the Lingodbhavam happens exactly the same way. You know, you can actually see Swami. It's a very painful sight, of course, for the devotees to watch. But, you know, sometimes you feel like telling Swami, Swami, don't do this. Why do you go through this? So, you know, it comes out the same way. And very beautiful point that you mentioned. So this reminds me of something, again, linking it back to, so how do you naturally put yourself in a state? Like you said, I think it's about being able to connect to that source, or rather, we already connected, remove those hindrances which are preventing us from realizing the connect with that source, which will, I think, help us to sing with bhavam. And this, I think, is not something which can be accomplished in just, you know, kind of pepping yourself up 2 minutes before the bhajan, or I don't think it happens that way. I think it's a lifelong process, a lifelong sadhana. So it reminds me of
I think it is a daily sadhana, I would say.
It is a daily sadhana, absolutely.
Yeah.
So it reminds me of, you know, since we are talking of Lingodbhavam, reminds me of a beautiful experience which one of our teachers in Swami's college, he's currently the Sri Ravi Kumar, is the warden in the Vrindavan hostel. So I remember him narrating this experience during our student days. So he was once sharing, I remember the key points, so kindly pardon me if I get some of the other peripheral details wrong. So I understand that, you know, Shivratri is always a major, major event, and I've heard that in those days, the crowds for Shivratri were even, you know, as big or possibly bigger than the crowd which would come for the birthday, Swami's birthday celebration. So I believe that in those days, Swami also, and I think this must have been before we had a formal system of Sevadals being in place. So I believe Swami had got a group of Sevadals, Sevadal volunteers to, you know, take care of things during the Shivratri and manage the crowds and offer other Seva. And I believe that Swami had, you know, under Swami's instructions, there was a badge designed, you know, a badge like a circular badge with the insignia, the, you know, the picture of a lingam on the badge. And I believe the words Lingodbhavam were written in the badge. And I believe Swami was giving directions to the Sevadals, possibly in the interview room. And I assume only the Sevadals were there. And Swami picks up this badge and Swami asks, what is Lingodbhavam? Now, the natural answer is to say, Swami, you take the lingam, you know, out of your body and all that. Swami said, no, that is not right. You know, Swami is saying it's not right. I think that's, you must be wise enough to say, okay, now he's got something in mind which he wants to share. So true. I think wisely people said, okay, Swami, you tell us what it is. And then Swami in his inimitable style splits up the word Lingodbhavam. He says, and I believe in the badge, the spelling of Lingodbhavam was L-I-N-G-O-D-B-A-V-A-M. And then he splits it into three parts and he says L-I-N-G-O-D-B-A-V-A-M. The first letter L, Swami says, stands for live. L stands for live. IN stands for in. GOD stands for God. And BAVAM stands for Bhavam. Oh, live beautiful. In God Bhavam. He says is Lingodbhavam. Now if you, and of course Swami, typically I think Swami speaks very cryptically in sutras. And then I think depending on the spiritual maturity of each one of us, no, I think we pick up a different meaning. And that's, true. I think, why he leaves it cryptic. Because I think with one sentence, he communicates different levels of meaning.
Absolutely.
Which would be appropriately useful for
that
us.
That has always been his unique style.
Always been his style. Because he operates, you know, wide spectrum. So, now if you look at this particular thing, the beautiful bit is, and the, I think I'll, one is the immediate meaning which occurred to me is, if you see Lingodbhavam, while Swami materializes, we've seen Swami materialize things by an, you know, external wave of his hand. A vibhuti, whether it's a ring, a chain, or anything that Swami, or things from the sand, Swami has materialized idols. As far as I know, brother, this is possibly the only thing which object which Swami materializes from within. Now, there are cases
comes
that Swami
from inside.
Exactly. And somewhere, you know, by actually taking it out from inside, I was wondering, isn't he actually trying to tell us that God or divinity, because Lingam is the ultimate symbol of divinity, God or divinity is not outside, but God is inside. Yes. And live in the Bhavam that God is always within you. I mean, is live in God Bhavam. I think that is, you know, even as I speak about my hair stands up. So I think linking it back to what you said, like you very beautifully said, it's not a temporary thing. It's a lifelong sadhana which makes you be able to sing with Bhavam. I think if you live that kind of a life, I think that's when irrespective of which bhajan you sing, the bhajan gets
true.
Charged
very
with bhav.
So that's, in fact, you were actually talking about there are so many simple bhajans, small yeah. ones, just about 2-3 lines, or you know. So I think it's a very very different a very different interpretation for everybody, right? So some people, as I told you, some people think about a particular form that they are attached to.
Correct.
Even Swami, for yes. example, yeah. And the other thing that we were just talking about. That's the, I think, possibly in the entire Swami's avatar, the only thing that he has materialized or manifested from within.
Yes.
Is the very, form of Lingam. So something which is formless, which is actually taking a form and coming out.
Absolutely.
To the world.
Absolutely.
So from the cosmos, I think every avatar, the entire, avatarhood, of just not Satya Sai Baba's, I think every other avatar that the universe has always experienced has been the same concept, if you see. The formless taking, deliberately taking a form and coming to its own creation,
exactly.
spending that time, elevating and going back.
Absolutely.
And continuing to elevate.
Absolutely. And I think formless taking a form purely... because again, you know, Swami talks of Lingam. You may have heard Swami mention, I think Swami says, Liyate Gamyate Iti Lingaha. You know, he kind of, you know, it comes and then it kind of, you know, it fulfills its purpose. And then, like you said, it goes back to the formless, you know, domain. So, and what prompts it is purely, like you said, it's compassion towards its own creation.
Absolutely.
If you, I think it's Sainatha Mahima Stotram, which says, Sada Satswarupam Chidananda Kandam Jagat Sambhavastana Samhara Hetum Swabhakti Chaya Manusham Darshayantam Namamishwaram Sadgurum Sainatham Namamishwaram Sadgurum Sainatham. It says, the ultimate reality whose form is existence, knowledge and bliss, prompted by the love for its own creation, so by the, you know, by compassion for its swabhaktiachaya, I think to fulfill the desire of its devotee, it takes on a form, and that form is Lord Sainatha. And you know, when you that Sainatha Mahima Stotram, which praises Swami in his Shirdi form, you know,
true.
You're so beautiful. So yes, I think
that is in fact a part of the Shirdi Aarti also, if you actually see.
Oh, okay. I wasn't aware of that. Yeah, okay.
So if you actually take the Shirdi Aarti, there are about four of them. Morning, afternoon and evening and in the night. So the afternoon and the evening has this, a part of the Aarti itself.
Oh, you know, that's what. So there are so many things we sing on a daily basis, and sometimes, no, because we do it daily, like the Aarti, for example. You know, there are so many beautiful words. Sometimes what tends to happen is that we tend to ignore them. So, like the, you know, you're saying that they sing it daily in Shirdi. We sing the Aarti very frequently. Lingodbhavakara, Lingeshwara is such a commonly sung bhajan. In fact, often, you know, with us bhajan boys, sometimes what happens is when you have 2 more minutes to go, you suddenly realize you can sing one more bhajan. In the last minute, you decide to sing a bhajan, and without a thought, you get into this bhajan.
Just take,
you
know, something which is just so small.
So small and fits in. So, because of which what happens is, no, you may not... It's. I think we also possibly don't give it the desired seriousness, and that's possibly why Swami is willed that we talk about this bhajan today. Almost,
true.
He's mandating that you spend time on this bhajan.
True.
Lingodbhavakara Lingeshwara Partishwara Mam Pahi Prabhu. So, you know, you're actually calling for, you know, protection. Oh, that's again a, you know, beautiful function of the Lord. You know how He saves people, and that's, of course, I think Swami once, I think, said that, I think to a particular devotee when, I think it's John Hislop, I'm not very sure. When he thanked Swami for saving him, I think, from an accident. Swami said, I've saved you now, with you knowing. But he said, so many times I have, without you even knowing. So, you know, the function of the Lord where He protects us, you know, such a beautiful... So, I'm just reminded of, I think, the story of Thirunavukkarasar, the famous Shaivite saint. Now, to cut the long story short...
One of the 63 saints.
63 saints, correct. Okay. To cut the long story short, you've, you know, you have a situation where I think he's, you know, I think he did embrace Jainism just to study the system, but then got genuinely involved in Jainism. In fact, he was, on account of his great piety and spiritual power, in Brahmacharya, he was actually made the head. And somewhere, you know, I think he got so engrossed in it and forgot that he'd gone there for a purpose. Later, of course, when they found out that he'd come for this purpose, you know, he loses his position, that he's thrown out. When he comes back, the Hindus, the Shaivites are not willing to accept him. He had to go through a purificatory rite where he was put in a brick kiln. And imagine, you're saying you spend the whole day there, a whole night there, and if you come out unscathed, you know, we talk of trial by fire. I think it's literally trial by fire in his
literally.
Case. So, I think one of the bhajans, Tamil bhajans, which we used to sing has that beautiful stanza. I think it is, I'm not sure whether it is Thirunavukkarasar, but... Maselvinayum malai madhyamam visuthenralum vengilavenilum moosuvandarai poigayum ponrade ஈசன்யந்தை இனையடி நிழலே ஈசன்யந்தை இனையடி நிழலே ஹர ஹர சிவ சிவம் பலவான.
Such a beautiful bhajan.
Yeah, such a beautiful bhajan. I think the first part, so, you know, that's the problem when you translate something as beautiful as from a Tamil or a Sanskrit or Swami's Telugu into English. You'll start exactly the other way around, you know, from the other end.
True.
So, I think he was asked later on, how was the experience of going? He came out unscathed. And he says it was Masil Vinayum Malay Madhyum, and you know Tamil better. So, you know, would you know the meaning of this?
Not really,
approximate?
I've not read.
But it says, it. I think it says that it was actually like the spring, it was like, you know, the cool breeze, you know, and I heard the buzzing of the bees. Imagine, you're sitting in a kin. And he says, I did all this, it was very cool, there was a cool breeze, it was like the cool lake was next to me, and I heard the buzzing of the bees around the flowers. He also talks about... Masil Vinayam. So at some way, he talks of beautiful music, I think, coming in. He says, the experience was all this because Isan Yandai Inayadi Nele. He says that my Lord is my refuge. I was under the shadow of my Lord's feet.
He looks like he has had a ball of a time.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So when the entire world would have thought that, okay, he's going to be burnt to ashes.
And what an inspiring line. No, when somebody says that the Lord is my refuge. All this because I was under the, you know, shadow of his lotus feet. So, Pahi Prabhu. Again, so beautiful. Again, I'm glad we are getting an opportunity to ruminate on this because it helps us remind, because the word Pahi must be coming in so many bhajans. So, I think somewhere if this gets so deeply internalized. I think a time will come when you say the word Pahi, you cannot say it without your voice getting choked. Possibly why Swami has also kept us away from it, because practically it'd be very difficult to sing that way. Since we have a job to do in terms of singing, I think he also keeps that portion away. And yes, of course, the last word, Vibho, is I think, you know, when we were researching for this, there was a brother of ours who actually is saying that Vibho means the one who is full of splendor. Beautiful word, right, brother?
So the cosmic awareness or the supreme being that we're talking about, the maximum that mankind could ever describe in form of words is only the light.
Light.
That's the maximum that I think humans or the mankind has ever seen, the great souls or the realized souls across the universe that people have seen or experienced or been under them, when they leave the body, the maximum that with the naked eyes that we have seen is only the light.
Is only the light
going and merging with the cosmos.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So how beautiful to have known this last line of this bhajan, which says, Dehi Vibho.
Dehi Vibho.
And as you're speaking, indweller of the being, yeah, or the being as such.
Yeah.
Is the effulgence. Just about it.
And now that you're saying this, no brother, it suddenly one beautiful connection strikes me. The previous line is Pahi Prabhu and Dehi Vibho. Now, you know, it's very interesting. You know, I think when somebody with deep devotion writes a bhajan, even if they are not scholars, I think the connection happens automatically. One, you're asking for protection, Pahi Prabhu. And then you're describing him as Vibho, which is light, or, you know, the one who is full of splendor. Somewhere, the image which came to my mind while you were describing, light was, I was thinking of a ship which is lost in the ocean and which is looking for guidance, and there's a lighthouse. You know, I think that's exactly our condition. You talk about the ocean of samsara and then...
On a daily basis.
On a daily basis. And then Vibho is one who is full of light and actually guides you. He protects you and he guides you.
Till we are a part of this materialistic world, the samsara that you are talking about, till such time the mind exists, I think the lighthouse is very much required in the form of course, your own Lord, your own Guru.
Absolutely.
Who never leaves you.
Absolutely. Yeah. So beautiful, brother. I mean, so much we can talk about this bhajan. I think for want of time, we'll conclude here. But again, once more, I think Swami has given us an opportunity to experience that in a seemingly simple bhajan, there could be so much. If we were to just take that effort to, I think, kind of ruminate, and the points I personally take away from what you shared is that, you know, bhavam is not something which you can achieve by psyching yourself up, you know, like you do in case of in case of any other profession. I think it will have to be a lifelong process. It'll have to be, you know, shravanam, mananam, nirdidhyasa, as they say. It has to be, I think you have to live that life, live in God bhavam, which ultimately will get you to that state where you are able to render a bhajan the way it will really touch him and really melt him, like Tyagaraja Swami says.
Absolutely. I think with a lot of ongoing inquiry within.
Yes.
Of course, there is a time when Swami is definitely going to give you an answer, and we may call it the realization or the liberation day,
yeah,
or whatever he wants to call it. I think the inquiry continues.
True.
So the inquiry becomes the bhava itself.
Exactly.
In itself.
And when that inquiry, I think, reaches its highest state, I hope we will see, and I'm sure with His grace, we'll see the Vibho, you know, the light which is there.
Definitely, definitely.
Thank you so much, brother. Wonderful speaking to you.
It was a great opportunity. Jai Sai Ram.
Same here, brother. Jai Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.
So that was Brother Balram Chandran and Brother Mayur from Chennai sharing their thoughts and insights on this bhajan. And now let's listen to the final version of this bhajan as it is sung in the Prashant Nilayam Mandir.
Lingodbhava kara lingeshwara.
Lingodbhava kara lingeshwara.
Lingodbhava kara lingeshwara.
Swaram pahi prabho
Swaram
So that brings us to the end of the current episode of Radio Sai Vintage Bhajan Classroom. If you have any queries or comments, as always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. Thank you so much for being with us through this program, and we offer our gratitude to Swami for giving us this opportunity to spend time thinking about His music, His glory, and His melody.
You were listening to an episode of our program Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. This episode was first aired on the 12th April 2018 as part of Thursday Live from Prashanthinilam on Asia stream of Radio Sai Global Harmony. This program was hosted by Team Radio Sai's Bishu. Thank you and Sai Ram.